Good morning, if it is morning. This is Sven Gulli, and you're listening to Too Much Scrolling.
Scrolling for October 28th, 2014. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Chip Hassenflug.
And we're just a couple of guys sitting around talking about things that are important to us. Hopefully they're important to you. And if you need more information, there's lots of great ways to find more information. I always consult the Handbook of the Recently Deceased.
That's a good place to do it. It's a place to find opportunities. And probably leads if you are in some kind of sales.
There's lots of small business opportunities there, aren't there? You could be a bio-exorcist of some sort. This is another one of our October fun Halloween shows. It's the last one for
right
October.
Before the big day.
Oh, the big day is coming. The big man's going to come down the chimney.
And It's Friday this year.
That's right.
So, if you know, whatever you expected to be that much more this year.
Oh yeah, don't you hate it when Halloween's on a Tuesday and all the kids are like, "Eh, we can trick or treat, I guess, but we gotta go to sleep because we gotta wake up and go to school in the morning."
That's right, and you know, and then they don't have a chance to like drink Jolt Cola and have Pixie Sticks at the same time.
There you go. Oh man, no kidding. They would have such a hard time trying to get to sleep. Yeah, Tuesday Halloween's the worst.
Well, the kids in elementary school in our area, they go to school a half a day. And so they'll get out early. And I think our trick-or-treating for our area is 4 to 7 this year. Wow. So they right around 7, it's pitch black out. So they stop trick-or-treating as much. It slows down. But I think people continue to mingle until probably about 9 o'clock in our area.
And then daylight savings time happens right after that, so we've got that coming right around the corner, too.
Oh, no.
Yeah. It's
going to
get
dark. Why do we have daylight savings time?
I don't know.
That was an archaic thing from a time gone by.
Yeah. We need to make sure that we get the farmers out when the sun rises. This doesn't make any sense. Our film at 11 this week is, oh, boy, one of my favorites. I know. I love everything. That's what this show's all about.
It's Steve's love fest.
I am a theater geek. I love putting on musicals, and one of my favorite things to do is to watch the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Over and over again.
I have bought so many copies of the Rocky Horror Picture Show on VHS, on DVD, now on Blu-ray. I own more copies of that movie than anything else. I've bought every copy of the soundtrack. And
have you really?
I have. I have every different version of that soundtrack. And I find out, I put it in the show notes, that now I don't have to own any of them because I am an Amazon Prime member, and all of those soundtracks are available for free to me through Amazon Prime now.
And I saw that also. That these, not all of them, the 2001 Broadway one, you still had to purchase either the MP3 or you had to purchase the CD. But the older ones, the original Broadway cast, when it was off-Broadway, I guess, and also the one from the movie, they were both available on Prime. When they throw that through Fire Television, that may be something to consider getting, because it seems very easy. I like my Apple TV because I can get to all my music through Apple Match. But if I could get free albums, listen to them through Fire, why not?
I just hook up a computer to my main TV, so I have access to all that stuff through my main TV anyway.
Okay.
So yeah, my Prime account, I could open on that computer through my nice stereo system and have that music ready to roll.
Oh, how wonderful. How wonderful.
The Rocky Horror Picture Show was put out, the movie version was put out in 1975. It's our fun, newly engaged couple break down, and they find a castle, and they assume that the castle must have a telephone, so they walk through the rain, and they find the most interesting batch of weirdos having a party, and we meet Dr. Frankenfurter.
This is very 70s. Very 70s.
Yeah.
And, you know, if the theater version started in 1973, so the movie was, I mean, only a couple of years later. And I don't know how many changes they made between that time. You know, many musicals evolve. But, my goodness, it is one of those movies. I didn't see it first run. It probably didn't do well first run.
It's one of those cult classics. And yes. And like a lot of those cult classics, it might not have done well first run. Mm-hmm. And it caught on with the right group of people who were so happy to see it again, the theater geeks, that that we got together and we watched it. We went to people's houses and we sang it. I've seen this done on stage with the movie playing behind and okay. live people in costume in front of the movie acting out this play so many times I can't even count.
Well, I would my assumption in my area where I grew up, I'm just guessing. This is before VCRs. This is before DVD players. So in order to watch something over and over, you had to go to the theater. And Friday Night Theater at midnight was a place that this could run. I bet this movie ran 10 straight years. Maybe wow. longer. Maybe longer.
That is something. There's not many movies that can say that this was the movie. This movie was played every year on my college campus. We went outside and projected it onto the wall of one okay. of the buildings and watched it together as a group, singing and dancing along with it, of course. And that one and Monty Python and the Holy Grail. Those okay. were our two annual outside movies, and the whole college came, well, not the whole college, all the theater geeks, all the important people came out to watch those two movies every year.
Well, I can understand both of those movies. There is, once you've seen them a number of times, you're in with the jokes, you've learned, they've created a whole language that you get to recite back to the screen as you're watching it.
There's an app for that.
There is.
There is an app for that. You can download an app that will, in time with the movie, you tell it the movie is starting now. You click the button on your phone. It will tell you exactly what to shout out at exactly the right time, in time with the movie.
Didn't Fame, in the movie Fame, that was one of the things that they did, that the kids did. They all went to see Rocky Horror Picture Show mm-hmm. together.
Yeah.
So, like I said, there was a language that you end up learning. You become part of a group.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, all you theater guys and gals, you were all on the outside, and you finally found a home together.
It's a community-building kind of film, and we all grasp onto that community, and this is a great way to do it. My best man at my wedding, when she was giving the speech, she took a piece of toast out of her tuxedo, and she said, "I'd like to give a toast," and she threw it into the audience. And it was just like we do at the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
All right, so first of all, for us guys, Susan Sarandon was a young lady at that, and when this was made,
mm-hmm.
and she is absolutely gorgeous.
Yep.
And then Tim Curry is
Tim Curry.
Tim Curry, but he was the transvestite, correct. Which obviously means that this movie was not meant for young children.
No, this is an adult-based movie. It is a very sexual in nature movie. Mm-hmm. The songs are about sex and weirdness. It's all about that 70s interesting vibe.
So. Is it rated R? I think it's rated R.
I'm sure it's probably rated R. There is a nipple.
Lots of, well, that's right. There's a lot of innuendo in it. I would probably say that 16-year-olds probably snuck into this. But really, it's 18. It's a college-aged 20s and stuff like that.
We watched it so many times in high school. In our high school theater group, we watched this movie so many times.
I can understand. I mean, there's when I say there's a naughty nature to it. I don't want to overstate it. It certainly wasn't pornographic. It was,
right.
It's very theater like.
It's very odd. It's very strange. Uh-huh. And yeah, it's a little inappropriate, and definitely you need to be in the right state of mind for it.
And Meatloaf was in it.
That's right. My nickname was Meatloaf for years.
Oh, it was.
Oh, yeah. Those, I love listening to Meatloaf music. I love the idea of Meatloaf. He really thought he was going to be a movie star. He didn't ever want to be a singer.
Really?
He always wanted to be a movie star. He thought this was his big break, and they brought him out. And he did a song, and then they killed him.
Well, Meatloaf, his music that he wrote, I can't think of the writer right now, but it was always very theatrical.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, very, when I say Broadway, that's not really fair.
He did. He took it to Broadway.
The Bat Out of Hell and the Bat Out of Hell 2 and Bat Out of Hell 3.
And Welcome to the Neighborhood is the third album. He took it to Broadway and made a show out of those songs because those songs were built on a theatrical basis.
Well, he does great delivery. Well, what can you say?
Mm-hmm.
So I can understand that. And, obviously the Time Warp has transcended the movie. I mean, it is one of the great songs. And obviously there's a whole group of people who have learned to dance it.
Mm-hmm.
And even for people who didn't watch it, you probably know the Time Warp song.
You've probably heard the Time Warp song. If you've been at a stop sign in October near my car, you've probably heard the Time Warp song.
Oh, really?
Very loudly. with my raspy shouting voice. I will probably lose my voice at some point this week of shouting along with the soundtrack, driving along in my car. Yeah, I like this movie a lot. It is something that I've seen more times than probably any other movie.
Okay. Well, I can totally understand. I have listened to the soundtrack. I do own this movie
mm-hmm.
on a DVD.
Ooh.
And I got it a few years ago to rewatch it because I had forgotten about it. And I have been to a late night showing of it, but I didn't go every week. So I'm aware of it. I didn't, when I walk in, do they throw water on you? Is that what it is when you're first time?
There's a lot of things that happen. You have to bring a squirt gun for when it's raining. You have to bring rice for the wedding scene. You have to bring toast and there's a lot to it.
There's a lot of cleanup after.
A lot of toilet paper being thrown. There's an app for that.
There's different, and in fact, this is really going back to that different time. Your theater had to make money.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you're basically saying, all right, we'll play this movie knowing we've got to clean up and we've got to be open the next morning.
You guys, you weirdos, come on in. We've got
take
space
my money
for you.
Take my money, please.
Yeah. And we happily walked in, we happily dressed up, we happily threw stuff at each other, and we loved it.
Okay.
We still do.
Yes. And I saw that. All right, so, and this started as Off-Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say it started in London. I'm just guessing.
I believe it actually, you're right, started in London before it got to Off-Broadway.
And the writer of this was out of work, and this was his, well, I've got time, and why don't I put something together?
Mm-hmm.
And how wonderful that he put something together that we're still talking about 40 years later.
Mm-hmm.
And that's right. It will be 40 years
next
year.
It will be 40 years next year. It's 39 years this year.
Isn't that amazing?
It is. Time flies.
And that's when I, you know, that was my first experience seeing Tim Curry.
Yeah, me too.
And he owned that part.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, he not only owned that part, every version I've seen them, they all want to be Tim Curry, too.
Ironically, I saw Monty Python and the Holy Grail's musical, Spamalot, featuring Tim Curry in the lead role.
Really?
On stage. So it's kind of ironic that those are my two movies from college, and there's
okay.
Tim Curry. And yeah, he played Tim Curry.
He does. He's very good at playing Tim Curry, and we love him for it.
He's great.
All right, so I've listened to the soundtrack quite a bit. My favorite song is Science Fiction Double Feature.
Mm-hmm, the opening song.
Oh, it is a great song.
Fantastic.
This was written to sort of think back to those early days of theater.
And
I'm sorry, movie theater.
Right.
And the B-movies mm-hmm. of that time. And there was, if we went to the theater, at that movie theater at that time, that was way before us, that you would go and you'd watch it like you'd watch television. There'd be like a cartoon or two. There would be a main feature. There'd be one to get you, a second one for you. There was a whole bunch of, and there would also be times where they'd shut down the film so you could go out and use the restroom
mm-hmm.
and get some popcorn and stuff, the intermission.
Mm-hmm.
So it was their television of their era. And I can truly appreciate why that would make a great musical.
And why it has lived on so long in the hearts and minds of the people, because it is that community, is that working together for this thing. Even though it's just us shouting at a screen,
uh-huh.
it's so much fun.
Sure. And the music between the original musical, the Rocky Horror Show versus the Rocky Horror
Picture
Show, had evolved a little bit since then. The cast would had been changed some, mm-hmm. but it's always it's fun listening to the different versions. And in fact, I like the 2001 Broadway revival. And I wrote down Daphne Rubin Vega, and I knew her from Rent. She's got this raspy voice, and it's just, I mean, it's just like, it's like butter, my friends. You can just listen to it, and you go, wow, that's just such a great voice.
That's great.
Oh, too cool, too cool.
Our second movie for October season this week is Beetlejuice.
Beetlejuice?
Beetlejuice.
Don't say it three times.
Oh, no, we said it three times. That one came out in 1988 and was such a different thing. It was Tim Burton. It was one of our first views of who this crazy guy is, this Tim Burton character. Featured Michael Keaton in the title role.
Michael Keaton.
Don't you love Michael Keaton?
who can't love this character?
I love Michael Keaton. All of his movies that I've seen, Mr. Mom was so much fun.
Gung Ho.
And then he had a role as Batman, and that was,
I am the Batman. And everybody was saying, you can't have a comedian play the Batman.
And it worked out just fine. One of my favorite Michael Keaton roles is he played one of the comic characters in Much Ado About Nothing, which is a Shakespeare play turned into a movie. And he did one of the comic roles, and it was brilliant.
Oh, good.
But Beetlejuice, 1988, was a great movie. We got Gina Davis, a very young Alec Baldwin. Oh, my goodness. It's hard to even...
That was good Alec Baldwin.
That was good Alec Baldwin.
Oh, I tease. He's fine.
Comparing that Alec Baldwin to the 30 Rock Alec Baldwin, they don't even look like the same person. He has changed so much since 1988. Winona Ryder was the young girl in that movie.
Oh, she played it great. That was just wonderful.
It's very good. And there's so many wonderful things that we remember from Beetlejuice.
The sets were incredible.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, that's what I would say Tim Burton did. This is when he was creating the language of Tim Burton.
Yeah.
So he had all the players. Danny Elfman played the music. Mm-hmm. Black and white sets.
Sandworms.
Who was the gentleman who played the interior decorator who took this house and just made it just... I mean, it was just crazy how it's the modern. When you think of the modern, it's not modern anymore, but it was modern at the time.
1988 modern. That was Glenn Shaddix, who's had quite an interesting career.
Sure.
And played that weird interior decorator character so well. He unfortunately passed away in 2010.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah.
Dick Cavett was in this movie?
Yeah.
I mean, it had a kind of interesting cast. And what I think was the star of this movie, even though they won't say it, was Harry Belafonte's soundtrack. I mean, mm-hmm. absolutely Tim Burton's use of Harry Belafonte's music, I mean, just made it just poppy and bounce up and down.
Yeah, it's happy. Almost impossible to listen to that song without thinking of that scene from Beetlejuice. That is the music video for that song.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And I they just did a great job. And my understanding is they're working on, think about this, this came out in 88. They're working on a Beetlejuice 2.
Wow.
I mean, and they talked about that. In fact, Tim Burton did not want to do Beetlejuice 2 initially. And so it was going to be something like Beetlejuice Goes to Hawaii. It was a working title.
And he meets the Clampets.
And the studio okayed it. So he was like just freaking out because he was thinking he was going to have to do this movie.
Oh,
but they didn't. Good. But what I really liked about this movie is... When I think of, in fact, we'll talk about this a little later. When I think of Halloween, and I'm thinking of this time, right across from where I worked as a student in college was a large church. And we could not have anything that said Halloween in our place. There are many people who associate it with things that are not. They would not feel comfortable with.
Yeah.
Okay, and so it's very important to know your audience. So I'm very conscious of, you know, making sure that things remain, we're certainly not celebrating, like, the evil things in
the
life.
The dark arts.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah.
What I want to celebrate is kind of like the Day of the Dead, where you know, in Mexico, they've got the, you know, the husband and wife skeletons, mm-hmm. and they're they basically say, oh yes, you know, your grandparents, let's celebrate your grandparents. You know, and then we have All Souls Day and All Saints Day.
Right, those religious things that became this holiday of Halloween that we've kind of put away those religious things when we think about trick-or-treating and candy and dressing up in costumes.
This is, Halloween is truly an American holiday. Mm-hmm. It is the most American holiday because it is a secular holiday. You may bring back paganism or whatever you want to from the past, but it truly is. There's no person who's American who couldn't enjoy, you know, dressing up. I might as well talk a little bit about this now. What I don't like is I don't like, you know, scenes of pain.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, if you decorate your house with the people hanging from the trees and sides of beef, of human flesh and stuff like that, I'm certainly not telling you not to do that, but it certainly breaks what I would say the spirit of the funness. We want to kind of have some playfulness with death, I guess. But what we really are doing is just having some fun.
Mm-hmm.
And Beetlejuice was a great example of, you know, we've got people who've died.
Mm-hmm.
They don't recognize they've died. They want their home is being changed around them to this modern home, and they like Gina Davis plays the perfect rustic person. Somehow they want to live like it was like the 1930s in the 1980s.
Mm-hmm.
But so they want to scare these people out of the house, and they misplace their book telling them what they do when they die.
It reads like stereo instructions.
That's right, and Winona Ryder reads this.
Yeah.
And then,
because she's a still living person who can see the ghosts, because she's that creepy wearing black goth kind of character, and she has the ability to see the ghosts.
Yeah, and they explain that she what was she? She goes strange and unusual. She goes, and I of course am strange and unusual.
Right.
So she's dressed in this goth black to try to get the new family out of the home that's moved into Alec Baldwin's and Gina Davis's home. They call Beetlejuice,
right?
Which is just this guy who's just crazy.
Played so well by Michael Keaton.
Oh, he's just crazy.
He plays crazy as well as anybody. As well as Jack Nicholson plays crazy, Michael Keaton plays crazy. As well as Brad Pitt plays crazy,
sure.
Michael Keaton.
I think this would be a movie that would be ripe for a remake.
Well, they did the cartoon version.
They
had a Saturday morning cartoon version about this character having all sorts of wild adventures. But yeah, a reboot would be interesting.
Well, we have this, you know, sorry, they had great graphics for the time.
Yes.
But they are stiff, and you can tell they were of that time.
Yeah.
We really can do anything in movies now. So this would be a great one to kind of really allow your imagination go.
I think Tim Burton's done all of the same ideas in his other movies up until this point. So I mm-hmm. think we've seen that evolution of Tim Burton. Again, the sandworms are featured in so many different things. That black and white Tim Burton look.
Style.
Yeah.
There's a style to it. Absolutely. And you can see that same style in many of the other, you know, Nightmare Before Christmas,
mm-hmm.
which unfortunately has Christmas as part of its theme because, but it...
It works.
That was not a particularly money-making film when it first came out, but Disney has created legs for that. And then there's The Corpse Bride and a whole bunch of other Frankenweenie.
I just picked up a 7-disc set of Tim Burton's movies on Blu-ray.
Oh, really?
Amazon had them on sale last week for $26 for 7 movies.
Oh, which movie did you get?
$4 a piece. That's pretty good. Mars Attacks.
Okay.
And Beetlejuice. And Charlie and Chocolate Factory.
Oh,
and
yes.
Several others.
Okay.
Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Oh, that's a very good one, too.
Jeez.
So Jan Hooks just passed away from Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, when we go to the Alamo, the first thing we asked is for the directions to the basement.
That's right.
So Pee-wee wasted the entire tour. Questions at the end. Where's the basement? And then he gets laughed at. Oh, and that's Jan Hooks.
Classic.
What a great scene. Anyway, Tim Burton, his whole library is totally a Halloween library.
Yeah, he's definitely a Halloween kind of character. If you've ever seen an interview with Tim Burton, he is an odd duck. The way that he talks, he literally does not put his hands down below his head when he's speaking. He is speaking the entire time with his hands waving above his head.
By the way, Steve has his hands above his head when he's talking.
It's
like
good
this.
Radio.
The best of the podcast. Steve, all right, and now Steve is going to do charades. If you can guess what that one was.
All right. Brings us to our third movie on our list today, and that is another Michael Keaton movie. This one just came out on October 17th. It's Birdman.
Oh, I'm looking forward to seeing this.
I haven't seen it. I've heard great things. The reviews are fantastic. The trailer is really riveting.
Uh-huh.
And Michael Keaton is playing a character that is very similar to Michael Keaton.
He is. In fact, it seems like that... I'm going to say it in a different way. So the name of the movie is Birdman.
Mm-hmm.
But it could be Batman.
Correct.
So we have this actor who played Batman, mm-hmm. who's now going back to the theater, mm-hmm. and it looks like he's trying to make things work out for him. Mm-hmm. And it's just odd. And
I think it's going to do well. I think Michael Keaton can still draw an audience. I haven't seen this movie. I really want to.
He took a really long break, and I don't know if it was the movies that were coming out or if he had, like, you know, I have made some money and I want to go experience the world. I don't know what it was, but he did. He took a nice break. And he's come back with a couple things recently.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he's going to have a nice career.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, second career.
Oh, there you go. Good job.
Oh, good stuff. Anyway, Birdman, The Unexpected Virtue of Ignorance. What a great
name.
That's
a great subtitle.
And I think that so far, Rotten Tomatoes, the reviews have been very, very high on it. I want to say it's in the 90s. So... Anyway, what can I say? I haven't seen it, but I want to see it.
It's on our list. Our appetite of the week. There's a couple of really interesting new things that have come out this week in the world of apps. Facebook has come out with their Rooms app. This is a...
Oh, get a room.
Get a room. That's a great tagline. That's kind of the concept of the Facebook Rooms, is you can make a... room, a community of people to have a conversation. It can be an anonymous conversation, but as we've discussed, it's not that anonymous. It's a little bit anonymous. It's kind of trying to get into that bulletin board system from the first days of the internet, where a group of people, maybe they're all going to a convention and they want to have a discussion. Maybe they're all in one type of movie that they want to discuss, and we can have these small communities built that way, very similar to the bulletin board system.
And you're saying you could be, you don't necessarily have to be friends with a person to be in the same room with a person.
Correct. This can be strangers. You can post QR codes, and they can join your room.
That makes a lot of sense. I mean, if you're trying to teach a class,
mm-hmm.
I take some classes. Interestingly enough, they advertise them through Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And to have a room where we go and discuss it instead of an event where in the event you get, well, this will be the interesting part, what they can do to keep the spam out.
Mm-hmm.
Because between the T-shirts and the sunglasses offers and the vacation offers, and you can be a millionaire, and wouldn't you like to have abs like this, a moderator has to delete that out.
Right, you have to filter, yeah.
But there are places, like I have a couple of threads I run with friends of mine, and, you know, maybe we see something that's a little off color. We should not say it in public. Your Facebook board is public. If you're not willing to stand on the corner and scream that out, you shouldn't put it on there.
Right.
But once in a while, you'll have a joke that you found. Maybe it's a little sexist, or maybe it's a little, and there's humor in it, but it certainly is not public humor. It's blue. We've gone blue. So, you know, I have running threads with a group of my friends, and we'll just, it's basically the oddities of the internet. What can you say?
That's a great place for rooms. That's maybe that's the space that Facebook can make that happen.
Well, we'll see. It seems like they're expanding quite a bit. In fact, I saw an advertisement for their Messenger, which they did not use the Facebook name on. So they're trying to get Messenger to be sort of a standalone app. The idea of using any smartphone, you know, talking about taking an attempt to take a blow at Apple, who really dominates this area, if you could convince everyone that they don't need to have the Apple ecosystem, and you could work off any phone, then wouldn't that be the way to do it? I mean, instead of having FaceTime, you have Skype, and Skype works everywhere. That's that's a Microsoft product now.
But it is integrated into Facebook. You can use that.
Sure. But, I mean, for Messenger or Rooms or something like that, and you're on an Android device and I'm on a Windows device, and someone else is on an Apple device, and this idea of creating an ecosystem that is that doesn't matter where you use it seems to be it seems to be a reasonable strategy.
Very good. Our bookit of the week. I've gone back and I reviewed the first book in the trilogy a few weeks back, and I went and finished the second book and the third book. So I'm highly recommending the Newsflesh trilogy this week. This is the Mira Grant book that I reviewed weeks ago called Feed.
Yes.
It's a zombie book, but it's not an apocalyptic book.
Okay.
The zombies are there, they exist, but the rest of society is walled off, and they are safe from the zombies, and our main characters are podcasters and bloggers who are reporting about the zombies. They are highly armed podcasters and bloggers.
Highly armed.
Who go into the field and do things in the field and record it and make money from their podcasts.
Do zombies have rights?
And the zombies don't have rights, but but the way that the story unfolds in the third book is a really interesting, eye-opening idea about what we are doing today with diseases like Ebola, and how we are protecting ourselves, walling off zones, and saying this is a safe zone, and over there is the unsafe zone. If you want to go over there, go right ahead. But
you can't come back.
You can't come back. Ah. We're getting there. It's such a...
Well, Ebola is a different type thing. I think we're going to have that pretty much contained. And there's going to be a few outbreaks here and there. And the ones that are overseas, I'm sure we'll figure out a way to there'll be some other type of disease that will wipe us out.
That's kind of what happens in this book, too.
All right.
It's a great read. It's a fiction, but you can see in it.
There's no truth in fiction, ever.
You can see in it what we're doing and what our governments around the world are doing and how they're working together and how they're not working together for the prevention of the spread of these diseases. Very interesting.
So you're going to go anti-vaccine right now. Would you like to talk about your stand on No, I tease.
We come to our And Now the News segment.
No.
Yeah. We missed something on our calendar. We have a calendar of all the important dates, and we missed one.
Oh, I saw that.
October 17th was Spreadsheet Day.
Well, who would want to miss that? I mean, we have Towel Day earlier in the year,
right?
And now we have Spreadsheet Day.
Mm-hmm.
Spreadsheet Day is celebrating, October 17th, 1979. On the Apple computer, there was the first spreadsheet. Was it VisiCalc? Mm-hmm. Which I'm sure you used plenty of times.
I have been teaching spreadsheets to students for the last 12 years. I teach spreadsheets every quarter to a new batch of kids, and I teach them every year, and every year they walk in and they have no idea how to use a spreadsheet.
Well, In fact, I'm going to go ahead and be honest with you. I work with spreadsheets all the time, but every time, I would say once a quarter over at the library, they have an intro to Excel course. I go and sit in it because I know so much. and know so little at the same time. It's the most humbling program ever, because you recognize just how powerful a spreadsheet is. Mm-hmm. I need an amortization schedule. Well, you can make one through a spreadsheet. Well, I'd like to have a calendar. We can make one through a spreadsheet.
Very easily. There's so many things that it can do. Organizing your data, having that data available to you is so easy through a spreadsheet. You just have to know how to manipulate it. Mm-hmm. And I teach it so often, and every time it's new to the kids because they don't use it on a daily basis. If you don't use it, you lose it.
Well, if there's something you're trying to do, like I there's all sorts of things that I end up doing. You want to put together a budget. Go online in your browser and just put in, I'd like to, you know, Excel budget making. There's somebody has written it for you. All you have to do is go and just download the template, and there you go. You have it. If you don't like it, you can change it.
Right.
So it's a very adaptable program.
And Microsoft Excel is the leader in the spreadsheet space right now. You
sure.
can use that. It's part of Microsoft Office. It's the best, really.
I think it's
the
best.
Of the spreadsheets. But there's so many others available. Google Docs mm-hmm. is great for spreadsheets. I have switched almost completely off of Excel to Google, and I keep all of my spreadsheets available to me at any computer that I go to, including my cell phone.
Okay.
So I can see that data, manipulate that data as I need anytime.
You're good at manipulating data.
That's what I'm here for.
Well, I think that's awesome. And I think that that Excel has changed my working with clients and being able to use or keep track of things.
Our bonus segment today, since it's our last show of October, bonus segment, we have to talk about some Halloween music.
Do you like Halloween music?
Of course I do. Is there anything we've ever talked about on the show that I don't love?
Well, you love everything.
I love everything. You and I both have had a history where we've set up speakers outside of our homes for trick-or-treaters, and we've had music blaring down the whole street, and...
I could probably go up to about 12 hours worth of Halloween music. That's a lot of music.
So what's your go-to? What's your number one Halloween song?
Well, when I said go-to, I put together a list of 10 songs, which turned into 12. There's no number one song or anything like that. These are just songs that I kind of put together that I enjoy. Now, the things I left out were the Monsters theme, which is Jack Marshall and Vic Mizzi's Addams Family's album, which they just are peppered with great, great music. Mm-hmm. But I started with a song you probably don't... One of the beautiful things about holidays, let me just back up a little. We're talking Christmas or Halloween, is there's not many times of the year where we jump genres. Like, we listen to pop music probably all the time if you have young kids, or you're the heavy metal person, or you're the person who likes, you know, whatever you like. When you get to the holidays, you jump genres. So you'll listen to a country song, and then you'll listen to a Broadway song, then you'll listen to, you know, a big band song. This is kind of the special time. In fact, if you're a big band player or jazz player, the holidays are really you may dread them, but they really are probably your money-making time, because you get hired for anything.
Sure.
But anyway, the first song I picked was, and by the way, there are many different versions of these songs. Just like most Christmas songs, there's a thousand recordings. But I picked one from, I think it's a family called the Five Browns. But you'll know this song because it's called The Carnival of Animals. And it is used, if you see a horror trailer, I would say in 10 trailers, it's probably used 3 times.
Wow.
Because you'll absolutely know it. It's got this, you know, this doon-doon. I mean, it's got this perfect song, this theme. It's just mysterious. It is a very, very good song to sort of set the tone. And I believe when creating a soundtrack for your holiday experience.
A mixtape.
That you need to jump genres because it's a lot of fun.
My go-to is a kind of an odd one.
Okay.
You might have expected it. My go-to is called Red Right Hand by Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds.
Oh, we know Nick Cave.
Oh, boy. That song is Halloween to me.
Oh. Do you like a certain genre? Do you like the rockabilly sound for it? Or do you kind of jump around?
I jump around. Okay. I'm not a genre freak for music. I don't listen to a lot of music because I have this thing where songs get stuck in my head.
Oh,
if
beautiful.
I listen to a song in the car on the way to school, it will be in my head the rest of the day.
You will sing it all day long.
And I will vocally have that coming out of my face the rest of the day. And it really bothers people, so I don't listen to music.
Steve listens to the latest Katy Perry song.
Well,
and bam.
Of course, you know my pop diva obsession.
Yes.
I love those pop diva songs.
All right, so I'll go ahead and for my next one, I put Casper the Friendly Ghost.
Nice.
And the reason I put this song is it was just re-released in a CD or MP3 this year. And it's by the Golden Orchestra. And it is just the theme for Casper. Because I do believe when we're dealing with young people...
Mm-hmm.
I have no problem with the Halloween theme from the movie, or any of the other scary themes that you can think of. But I recognize that my audience is young people, and if you've ever been around a child that's really scared, you know, their heart is racing, and sometimes they have a difficult time recognizing reality. Like, this is not real. This is all just, you know, these are lights. There's nothing going on here. I don't want to scare you. Have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
So, and by all the way, that doesn't mean that my neighbors all feel that way.
Right.
Some of them are like jumping in behind bushes and, you know, got chainsaws going and all sorts of crazy stuff. But that's not my style. But Casper the Friendly Ghost is totally what I wanted to do. Casper wants to be a friend. And his buddies are all the scary, spooky guys.
My second go-to is the Twin Peaks soundtrack.
Oh, that will work.
I jam that thing every Halloween. That is my soundtrack to Halloween. It's so well done. And Angelo Baldamente made such a discordant, interesting, different sound to his music, and again, you know his music when you hear it because he always makes a very similar sound.
I want to say he worked with a singer called Julie Cruz.
Correct.
And I had one of his either CDs or tapes,
mm-hmm.
and I used to listen to it late at night,
mm-hmm.
because it was just absolutely. Creating the mood, and Twin Peaks has a great mood to it.
Yes, it does, and it's coming back in 2016. It's been announced a 25-year later, kind of it's 9 episodes, it's a mini-series, essentially,
uh-huh.
and it's going to be on Showtime, and it is fulfilling the promise of the original series, where Laura Palmer said to Agent Cooper, I'll see you in 25 years, and David Lynch is crazy enough to 25 years later bring back those actors and those characters.
Oh, how wonderful.
I love it.
All right, so my next one I picked is one from a singer called Zachary. And Zachary is very similar to many of, you know, Elvira or Grandpa, any of the persons who are Svengoolie,
who opened our show today.
So he had an album of songs that he sang. He plays sort of a vampire character, and his song is Come With Me to Transylvania. And it is just, he's wooing a young lady. He's saying that he's got a union card. That the fresh earth is, you know, smells so good, and you should come with him. It's a very, very funny song. Once again, on the not scary, just kind of in fact, that's one of the things that Halloween's very good for is all of those when I say one hit wonders, the novelty songs.
That's where my next pick goes.
Okay.
Is Purple People Eater.
Oh, there you go.
That is that novelty song. I love novelty songs. I love Dr. Demento. I am obviously a big fan of Weird Al.
Uh-huh.
Those novelty songs hold something special for me. Something about an actor, a singer who is willing to be weird, especially Weird Al, and and put himself out there. Purple People Eater's that song.
Well, we really don't get enough novelty songs. Radio was a little different then, you know, and so Purple People Eater or Teeny Weeny String Bikini, mm-hmm. or you know, any of the other ones, we don't really get many of those. Every once in a while we get, you know, something that grabs the world that's a little off, but that's not... It's not always. That's not right. Always.
You got one more for us, Chip?
Sure. I on the Jim Dale, when he's reading the Harry Potter stories, he makes up a tune to the Sorting Hat song.
Mm.
So if you go on YouTube, look for the Sorting Hat song and Jim Dale, the guy who reads it, and he sings it, and it's a great little ditty for Halloween. Once again, not scary. But just enjoyable.
I'm glad you mentioned Casper the Friendly Ghost, because our sponsor today is Casper Mattresses, which has nothing to do with Casper the Friendly Ghost. It's just the name of the company. Support American business and sleep better tonight. Casper offers innovative mattresses at affordable prices. Their mattresses are latex and memory foam and made in America. They offer free shipping and a 100-night risk-free trial. If you don't like it for the first 100 nights, Casper will take it back hassle-free. Visit casper.toomuchscrolling.com. For $50 off your mattress purchase. We thank Casper for their support of Too Much Scrolling.
Oh, thank you. All right, so if you want to have more list of songs that you'd like to consider, we do have a list on our show notes.
Mm-hmm.
So you can pick some of the songs. Like I said, I have about 9 hours worth of music.
There's so many more.
12 hours worth of music.
Let's not go over all of them.
So I don't... Anyway, you can make your own playlist. You can go to iTunes. You can go to Amazon. There's plenty of places to find music.
Yeah, there's great ways to listen to music nowadays on the internet.
Well, in fact, one of the areas that really struggles, in fact, maybe that's something we'll do for next year, is set up this playlist, maybe to go through you know, iTunes Radio or Pandora or Spotify or something of that nature.
That's a good idea.
It's a nice list. I mean, and you can have a lot of fun with it.
There you go. I think we have all the information we need to survive another week, Chip. What do you think?
Can we survive? I mean, we're coming. The zombie apocalypse is coming just a few days away.
Oh, I think the zombie apocalypse will wait. I don't think it's coming a few days away. I think we're going to celebrate all of those wonderful things about Halloween on Friday. I think we're going to have so much fun, and we have enough information.
Oh, that's great. So have a bonfire. Make sure you have plenty of soft drinks ready, because, you know, after you eat a lot of candy, you want to be able to have some sugar.
Throw some sugar down with it.
Oh, yes. And then in the morning, have some donuts, because there's nothing like having a lot of sugar that night and having more in the afternoon.
And if you need more information, you can, after all that sugar, you can find more information if you need to contact us. Our website is toomuchscrolling.com. Our email is toomuchscrolling@gmail.com. We're on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. You can find us on iTunes and Stitcher and TuneIn Radio. There's so many great songs, so much great information. There's lots of ways to survive for next week.
Boo, says the jack-o'-lantern.
Thanks again for tuning into Too Much Scrolling. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Chip Hessenfly.
We'll see you in the future. Boo.